Now it should be where. There you go. Little low key. Is that, are you a little tired, a little exasperated, a little something?
No.
No. Well, good. I would like to invite Janice to come up and preach my sermon today. you know, we've been doing this journey over the last number of weeks about things that God didn't say. You know, that the common phrases that we repeat or people repeat to us, and usually when we say them, we feel like we're quoting the Bible or quoting God, but there's so many of these things that are just not there. And today we're going to continue that, and this is the phrase I want to look at with you. If you have real faith, you will never doubt. If you have real faith, you'll never doubt. I have a good friend that comes from a tradition that teaches this. That if you have real faith, you won't experience doubts. And if you don't experience doubts, there's no limit as to what God can and will do for you. The only thing is that all the time, those things get tested in the heat of life. You know, someone's sick unto death, and we pray for them, and we pray without doubting, but yet they still die. Or, you know, we go into this terrible thing called a lockdown in the first part of March, and we think, oh, you know what, this will be gone quickly. And we pray, you know, God, you know, just please eradicate this virus from our society, and so we can get back to a normal way of life. And it doesn't. There's so many things about life that are difficult to grasp and difficult to understand with this in mind, because doubts are so common, you know, today. You know, for example, I've been feeling a whole lot better about myself lately, and I've really not doubted near as much. You know, I think that's true. Not real sure. Doubts just creep in, right? They always do. And you and I are here today with a heart that should be open for God. And I think the place that we should start is just simply that, you know what? Doubts are so much a part of life. But what I want to encourage you to do today is to not remain there. Don't remain in a place of doubt, because you can't remain in your doubts and also grow in your faith. Doubts are so common. Doubts come upon us, you know, like the rain from the sky. But we must not stay there. In other words, we can't help that doubts tempt us. We can't help that doubts are a place that we go sometimes, but we should never reside there. We should not determine that this is where we want to stay. Because if we stay there, our faith will not be able to grow. I don't know if you know Oz Guinness, one of the great theologians really of our lifetime, a British theologian, and he said this, and I love this quote. He said, "If ours is an examined faith, we should be unafraid to doubt. If doubt is eventually justified, we were believing what clearly was not worth believing. But if doubt is answered, our faith has grown stronger. It knows God more certainly, and it can enjoy God more deeply. So that's where I want to help you get to today. Get to a place not where you deny that you have doubts, but that you allow God and His Spirit and the person of Jesus Christ to answer your doubts and to give you a reason to keep on believing. You know, I think I've probably mentioned to you before that Sarah, our daughter, married a young man from Florida, and he torments me. You know, because I'm a Tennessee guy, and I don't think he was really a Florida guy until he realized that how much it would just agitate me if he became one. You know, I knew that was true the day that he was aggravating me, and I finally said, you know, Mark, I'll take you seriously if you can tell me the head coach of the Florida Gators. And he didn't know. Cha-ching! Oh, man, I felt so good at getting him in that. But he used to send me things all the time. Like last year, he actually sent me a picture of an orange and white lawnmower. And under the lawnmower, it just simply said, it doesn't mow. It just talks about how it's going to mow next year. I failed to see the humor in that you did. And I always kidded him. I said, you know what? If I would have known that you were a Florida fan, I would have stood up and resisted at this wedding. You know? There's just some places that you don't go. Here's the thing, though. We can't always decide where our mind, where our hearts, where our doubts take us. But we do have a determination of whether or not we will stay there. So I encourage you today that when doubts come, realize that it's not where you need to stay, because you can't remain in your doubts and also continue to grow in your faith. You know what? There's a great passage of Scripture. I don't know how familiar you are with Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is a beautiful chapter in the New Testament. And let me just give you kind of the bookends of this chapter and then refer to a specific verse here that you see. But the chapter begins, if you look at Mark chapter 9, with what? With the transfiguration. With Jesus choosing a few of his followers, they go up on the mountain with him, and he is transfigured. They see his glory. And when they come down, if you notice there, it says Jesus told the disciples, don't tell anybody about this, because the time had not yet come for him to be revealed to the world. And so they were quiet. But then after they come back down, they get together with the other disciples. And then it says, and it tells this story about a man that comes to see Jesus. And as the man comes to see Jesus, he's got something on his mind. He has a sick child. And he's got this thought in his mind that Jesus Christ can bring healing and can help this young child. And if you read the story closely, the dad actually says to Jesus, you know, that the disciples, they tried to cast out this demon that is in my child, but they were unable to. And then Jesus, you know, he criticizes the disciples a little bit. And then he says, you know, bring the child to me. And the father brings the child to Jesus. And look at verse number 21 of Mark chapter 9. Jesus says, how long has this been happening? And if you read the story, the child is overcome with a demon. And the demon tries to harm him, even tries to throw him in the fire and different things. So Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening? And the father replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I do believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. Folks, I submit to you here this morning that there are answers to a couple of questions in this passage of Scripture that you and I need to deal with. Before we go and answer the questions, let me point out here to you a similarity between this situation and your situation. Jesus said, "How long has this been happening to the little boy?" And the man says, or to the child, and the man said, "Since he was a little boy." Now we don't know the exact ages here. But it's obvious that this had been a situation going on in the life of this youngster, in the life of this father, in the life of this family for some period of time. Since he was a little boy. You see, I think that has a parallel with this idea of our doubts. How long have you had doubts? How long have you had questions that you couldn't answer? How long has there been things about God that you couldn't comprehend, that you couldn't explain, that didn't make sense? How often are me and you like Thomas and we doubt? Or how many of us are like the Apostle Peter and we're so impetuous and we're so reactionary to the things that happen in our lives, that many times we question who we are and where we are, and sometimes even whose we are. How long? Well, it's been a long time. And you know what? I think it's very healthy for us to come together today and for us to just simply say that we've had these feelings for a long time. That we need to offer these things to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here are the questions. The two questions that I want to ask you today about your faith. And I want to answer these questions not about our faith, not about faith, but I want you to answer them about your faith. Individually, right here in this room, allow God and God's Spirit to wrestle with you and give you clarity about these two questions. Number one, are you honest about your doubts? I think for the most part, people are not. Because we don't want people to think that we even have them. We don't want people to know that we question the supremacy of God, that we question the outcomes that God brings about, that we question His will, that we question His timing, that we even question whether or not David did it all the time. Why have you forsaken me, O God? Why have you left me here to die in the wilderness? Why have you delivered me unto my enemies? You see, the thing that was so neat about David and about his faith in God was that he was honest about his doubts. And so many times, we're not. Because we don't want to think, we don't want people to think little of us or think less of us because we have these kinds of questions in our minds. So that's where I want to begin today. I just want you to be honest with yourself and honest with God that you do have doubts. It's interesting here that when you look at this passage closely, that the man says to Jesus, "Have mercy on us if you can." Now think about that. I think that he had to have some understanding that Jesus could help. Why would he make this journey? Why would he come before Jesus and plead his case? I mean, why would he do all of that if he had these extreme doubts? I love Jesus' response here. Jesus responds to the man and says, "What do you mean, if I can?" I mean, Jesus understands his power. He understands his place. But so often, because of our unwillingness to be honest about our doubts, a lot of times that's the reason that we don't get to a resolution. We don't get to an answer. God doesn't relieve those doubts because we don't even admit them. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Every person in this room, if you think about the sin that you struggle with most often or easy in your life, it'll be the sin that you try to keep secret from everybody else. It's the sin that you don't admit easily to anyone. It's the sin that, for the most part, people that are closest to you don't know anything about it. So how can you ever deal with that if it's something that you're not honest about and upfront about? Folks, we just need to call out to God and say, God, you know my heart, you know my mind, you know the words before I ever speak them, you know my doubts, my fears, my worries, my uncertainties. Please help me to be honest to myself and honest to you about the doubts that I experience in life. Second question, do you have a will faith or do you have a can faith? Now think about that for a moment, because there's a big difference in you believing that God can do something. You know, that God can fill in the blank. It's different than being having a can kind of faith or having a will, that God will do something. You see, because if you have a God will do something faith, there's no place for doubt. You won't allow yourself to doubt. You won't allow yourself to question because God will. People that usually have a will kind of faith simply says that God will, and if God doesn't, then there's something wrong with my faith. That if I believe and if I have the faith that I need to have, that God will do something. That's a lot different than God can. You see, I think that the God can faith is the kind of faith that we need to have so that it will allow room for doubt, room for doubts to come into your mind, but also will let you know that God can do anything that is in His will. You know, the Bible's full of instances. The Apostle Paul, why didn't he get his healing? I mean, I think Paul had a God can faith rather than a God will. We don't push God into a corner and make Him do what we want Him to do. We don't know God's knowledge. We don't know God's foreknowledge. We don't know His omnipotence and His omniscience. We don't know, you know, how God is present everywhere at all times. You know, I find it interesting when you read the Old Testament story of the book of Job. You remember at the end of the story when Job went through all that he went through and God allowed all those terrible things to happen to Job. And as Job was questioning God, God said to Job, Job, where were you when I made the universe? Where were you when I created all that there is? You see, I think doubts are normal. But if they lead us to a place where we think that God is beholden to us, then it's the kind of faith that we need to rearrange and make it look a lot different than it does now. You see, I think when you go back and you look at this passage of Scripture, I think he's describing here a can faith rather than a will faith. He says to Jesus, have mercy on us if you can. And Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? And Jesus asks, anything is possible for a person who believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And you see, folks, here was the thing. Jesus healed this young man. Jesus called that demon out of him. Even though this man had doubts, even though he had serious doubts. And I find so much solace in that. I find so much comfort in that, that God can deal with my questions. He can deal with my doubts. He can answer the longing questions of my heart. And I don't have to be a person without any doubt before I can be a pleasing soul in His sight. I think of Peter. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the sea. And Jesus offered a hand and invited Peter out of the boat to walk on the water. And he did, until he doubted, until he looked away from the gaze of Jesus and noticed the waves and the wind. And at that moment, the Bible says that he began to sink, and Jesus lifted him out of that doubting water. And listen, folks, that's exactly what Jesus wants to do with me and you. If we're honest about our doubts, if we develop a will or a can faith rather than a will faith, not forcing our will on God, but understanding His power and His love for us, and that there are times when we will not receive the answer that we're looking for, and it's in that moment that His grace will be sufficient for everything that we need in life. You know, I think that there's a beautiful case study for this particular subject matter. Comes from James, or from Thomas, from the Gospel of John in chapter 20. Now, if you look at this passage, you'll know that it's after the resurrection, and Jesus appears to His disciples, but Thomas isn't there. So the disciples, they get together, and then Thomas is there. Jesus isn't there anymore, and the disciples describe to Thomas how they had seen Jesus, how they experienced Him alive, risen from the dead. And what does Thomas say? He says, I can't believe that unless I touch the wounds, unless I stick my finger in His side. And what do we know Him as? Doubting Thomas. Now, in the end part of this particular book, in verse 27, they're together again. And Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Isn't this a beautiful exchange between Jesus and Thomas? You see, Jesus had this habit of allowing people to have doubts and fears and worries. I think of John 11 when He experiences Mary and Martha at the death of their brother, Lazarus. And basically they say to Jesus, where you been? If you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus simply loved them through those doubts, those fears, those questions. And that's when He said that I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Thomas misses the resurrection of Jesus. He's with the disciples who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, and they tell him what they saw, and he says, I can't believe. But yet when Jesus comes before him, Jesus allows him to have the doubts, but then he answers the doubts and sets his heart and his faith on solid ground. Apostle Peter, Jesus bid me come to you on the water, and then he starts to sink, but Jesus raised him up out of that doubt and fear and worry and did miraculous things in his life after that. You see, folks, I submit to you today that all of those stories ended up with great outcomes because those men were honest about their doubts. And you need to be as well. I submit to you that all of those people, that they had a can faith rather than a will faith. They come to know and to understand that Jesus was not at their beck and call to do anything and everything that they wanted him to do. May I remind you that this particular story actually says that the disciples could not cast out this demon, but yet Jesus did. So listen, folks, be honest about your doubt. Develop a can faith in God that God can do it. And many times he will. But there are those times when we cannot understand or explain the heart, the mind, and the will of God. And it's at those times that we must put our faith and our trust in him to answer our doubts and to set our faith in a beautiful, beautiful place with a wonderful relationship in him. Because when you have that, you have everything that you need in life. You want God to help you with your doubts? Boy, I sure do. You know, I heard, Arlene, she doubts that I have an ability to do anything with electrical work. And, boy, she's going to be really shocked sometime when I overcome that. Listen, folks, let's make sure that this is a subject that we understand as a part of life. But it's a part of life that God wants us to conquer. Because although it is true that there is nowhere in the Bible that it says that that if you have real faith, you'll never doubt. But boy, it's pretty plain that God does not want us to stay in the doubt, but wants us to live by faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful time that you could give us this morning, that you could be with us in this place, Lord, today. And God, I know that, I've touched on a subject today that's tough for people. It's tough for people of faith, Lord, to accept that they have serious doubts, that they have serious questions. But Lord, just teach us today that's all right. That serious doubt can lead to a wonderful, wonderful and vibrant faith in you. Time and time again, we see it in the Scripture, in the life of people. And Lord, I pray that it would be so for us today. So Father, may we be honest about our doubts. May we develop a God can kind of faith, and then trust in you, Lord, each moment of each day. In Jesus' name, amen.